Spirit Blade Underground, August 13th, 2010.
Warning, access restricted. Enter password. DNA verification. Processing. Verification complete. Access granted. Welcome.
Spirit Blade Underground, August 13th, 2010.
Hello and welcome to the Monitor Room at the Spirit Blade Underground podcast. I'm Peter France, and the creator of Spirit Blade Productions. We're bringing you Christian sci-fi and fantasy that's unsterilized, unsafe, and unleashed on your ears and imagination. You can just... Boy, I've said that so many times. I tried to go for something a little bit different there this time, but it wasn't. I'm not really impressed with it. Anyway, you can check out what we're doing and grab lots of cool downloads over at www.spiritblade.net. Today on the show, I got a review for Scott Pilgrim vs. the World for you today. And then we're going to keep looking and digging into the Book of Romans. But first, we got to look at some updates.
File access. Updates.
All right, as of now... for anyone, and by the way, anyone who's interested, I had a great weekend with my buddy playing Descent in California. It was awesome. As always happens, whenever I take time off, I return to a mountain of things to do before I could get back to mixing. Barely got In Search of Truth done this week. Finally picked up mixing again, Tuesday, and basically finished up the entire mix this week. As of now, I'm about halfway through the music selection process for the special edition of Spirit Blade. This is one of my favorite parts of the process because the main mix is done at this point. So I'm mainly just adjusting levels. You know, once I get the music in, then I might bring individual effects and, you know, ambiances and stuff like that up and down and, you know, tweak and stuff. But I'm not really adding special effects and sound effects, excuse me, at this point. But still, when the right piece of music is dropped in, it completely transforms the nature of the scene, you know, compared to the amount of work I actually have to put into it. You know, granted, listening to lots of different songs can be a little bit monotonous, but for the most part, it's very exciting, creatively fast-moving time, so I dig it a lot. I think the music I was able to find for Dark Ritual played a major role in making that project what it was, and the same is certainly true, I think, for Similitude of a Dream, Pilgrim's Progress, Episode 1. And so I've been excited for a long time to give the same treatment to Spirit Blade. However, Spirit Blade is going to have a fairly different musical style than, say, Dark Ritual. You know, where Dark Ritual used epic orchestra and choir in its score, Spirit Blade will have a more modern electronic feel to it in keeping with the high technology setting of the story. I'm hoping to have all the music selected by the end of next week and for test listening to begin soon after. So progress is going very well. I'm very excited. Before I forget, I did get two cool submitted. I got a review, two submitted reviews from you guys out in the ether that are really cool. But I'm going to hold them off until next week because there's no big movies in the sci-fi, fantasy, horror genre coming out next week. So that'll be great timing to have some content there. So, but I'll have it for you next week. But this week, Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Let's not waste any time and get right to it.
Movie review.
Activated.
Okay, before I forget, I'm just pulling up my Pater's Brain blog because that's where I read all this stuff off of when I'm doing the podcast. I forgot to mention that one of my readers asked me to post the homebrew HeroClix campaign I was working on once I finished it. Because one of the things I've wanted to do, I started getting into HeroClix a little bit, but I don't like to play it competitively and like matches and stuff. That doesn't have any interest to me. But I do like it. What I wanted ultimately to use it for was a tabletop pseudo RPG like Descent or HeroQuest, except with DC superheroes. And so basically just by fudging the balance a little bit that each team or force is kind of built of, you can design it so that it's meant to, so the, it's designed for the heroes to win, but still be challenging, you know, all those things that like an RPG or a good dungeon crawling board game are I think supposed to be. So if you're interested in having a pseudo RPG experience for your DC HeroClix game and you want to give my campaign a try, you can go over to spiritblade.net/Pater, P-A-E-T-E-R, and look at the post on August 2nd. August second, 2010. And check it out. I have not really extensively, you know, tested it for balance, so I'd appreciate your notes. But, you know, if you're a DC Hero Clicks guy, you're welcome to check it out and let me know what you think. Okay, on to the review. That's what you really care about. Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I should say at the outset, this is based on a comic book that I have not read. I am a huge comic book geek, but almost strictly superhero comic books, and this is not a superhero comic book. But anyway, it is based on that. I've not read it, so I can't give you comparison there, as is ironically often the case when I'm reviewing movies that are based on comic books. For as big of a comic book geek I am, I don't seem to read many of the comic books that are being made into movies. Anyway, if you grew up playing video games in the late 80s and 90s, and you still have a good measure of nerd in you, then you owe it to yourself to go see Scott Pilgrim versus the World. This movie is fun, quirky, and filled with action that is bound to please full-blooded and even closet nerds the world over. Scott Pilgrim is a 22-year-old bass player in a wannabe band. He is hopelessly uncool and is getting over a bad relationship by kind of dating a 17-year-old girl. Don't worry, the execution of this concept is not near as creepy as the premise. I mean, they don't even kiss. I think they've held hands maybe once. So that's why in the review I put dating in quotes. It's kind of weird. I don't know what's going on there. But then suddenly the literal girl of his dreams begins showing up in the real world, and he takes that as his cue to pursue her affections relentlessly, even though it means he has to fight his way through her seven evil exes. Now, the movie is pure fantasy from beginning to end. It's told through the interpretive lens of video game stereotypes, with a few more from anime and comic books thrown in for good measure. You know, you've got like meters and pop-ups that repeatedly appear on screen giving status reports on Scott's essentials. One scene where he's taking a pee, there's a pee meter that shows up on the screen that depletes until he's finished peeing. The spectacular fight scenes also include 16-bit graphic enhancements, you know. Essentially this movie attempts to present everyday life as though it were a video game, and it does so in very inventive and fun way. So it's not meant to be taken seriously at all. It's just a fun, weird experience that will really, I think, resonate with especially video game players that played a lot in the 80s and 90s. Performances are, I think, fine across the board, and the characters are fairly likable. Michael Cera, who is the guy from Juno and other movies, I've seen him in several movies anyway, he's still playing the same character he does in all of his films. You know, so if you're looking for something new from this guy, you're not going to get something new. But, you know, if Jeff Goldblum can have a great career of delightful roles, you know, doing basically the same character in every movie, then I think Michael Cera can too. And if you like the kind of role that he plays in his movies, you're going to like this too. Only one spot in this movie jumps out as providing a springboard for a meaningful discussion. Near the end of the film, and I got to give you there's a pseudo spoiler warning here. But near the end of the film, Scott is given a special weapon to help him defeat kind of the final boss. And it's made available because he discovers the power of love. At first, it helps him kick serious butt, but in the end, doesn't work out. Then he has an kind of out-of-body experience in which he learns the valuable lesson that what he really needs to fight for is not love, but for himself. To stand up for himself and his self-confidence. So the next time he fights the boss, he uses the weapon of self-respect. And ultimately, that doesn't work out either. The way the kind of life lesson scene is handled, it pokes fun of itself almost enough to conclude that the filmmakers really don't hold up self-esteem as much as is typical in pop culture. But the joke, if there is one, you know, does not come across strongly enough to indicate that self-esteem is not necessarily the most important thing for a person's well-being. So where does that leave you? Well, I don't know. This movie isn't trying to make any points. I want to be clear on that. It's just, you know, ridiculous fantasy. But having said that, philosophy still bleeds through art unintentionally, and we can soak it up even when we weren't intended to. Even when it wasn't intended to come through, we can soak it up and kind of slowly through pop culture osmosis, that's what I call it, absorb it and make it our own. So we should still kind of be aware of what philosophies are leaking through, intended or otherwise. So what do the filmmakers think in this movie? Is self-esteem more valuable than love? Do you have to, as the popular cliche goes, learn to love yourself before you can love others? Well, from a biblical standpoint, we love ourselves just fine. We don't need training in that. Low self-esteem and depression not caused by chemical imbalance is often the result of being too self-absorbed, not of loving oneself too little. In the end, this movie is a love letter to geeks that they will greatly enjoy reading. Phenomenal, wonderful fight scenes that you'll really get a kick out of. And includes a potential moment, just a moment. The time I spent talking about it really gives it more emphasis than they certainly do in the film. But it includes a potential moment for pondering that is not stated conclusively or strong enough to merit much, if any, discussion, unless you really want to wax philosophical. It's rated PG-13 for stylized violence, sexual content, language, and drug references. I give it a quality of 9.5 out of 10 and a relevance of 6.5 out of 10.
Hi, I'm Jeffrey Haidt.
Hi, Jeff.
And I am a compulsive short story writer. I used to write all the time and just stick my stories in a drawer. I didn't have any place to go with them. And then I found Great Heights. Great Heights is a wonderful place. You go every week on Monday, and they post a new prompt. And on Tuesday of the following week, you turn in your story. And that's it. Well, not really it. Then they post it. And podcast it. And it's wonderful. I feel so much better. Hi, Jeffrey Haidt here. Come join myself and the many others who have found relief for compulsive short story writing at Great Heights. That's Great Heights, H-I-T-E-S, .blogspot.com, where 100-word stories are only the beginning.
Every word of God proves true.
Doctor will set you free.
The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever.
Doctor will set you free.
Today we're searching for truth in the book of Romans, chapter 1. We're looking at verses 8 through 15. But before we do that, for those of you following along that are either know anything about Greek or are, you know, find it interesting when I mention words in Greek or whatever, I need to correct myself. My friend, the Hebrew Greek Bible geek, my Bible study mentor, corrected my pronunciation of huios. Huios is the word. I said huios. It's huios, and that is the word that refers to a son who or offspring that has the characteristics of the father. So that's just a little correction there on the pronunciation for you geeks that are going to be using huios in a conversation. All right, so I'm going to read verses 8 through 15 from the New American Standard Version of the Bible. And it says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers making request, if perhaps now at last by the will of God I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you in order that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us, by the other's faith, both yours and mine. And I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented thus far, in order that I might obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Thus, for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome." After his initial introduction to this book, Paul tells Paul tells the Roman Christians that he thanks God, quote, through Jesus Christ for all of them. His phrasing is a reminder of our absolute need for Christ in order to relate to God in any way. Paul knew that His sins so totally separated him from God that only Christ's payment for his sins allowed him to even thank God for anything. Now, we might stop and think, wait a minute, I'm not even good enough to thank God or to praise God. Who does he think he is? But if this enters our thought process, it's a symptom of a worldview that makes too little of God and too much of us. The reason Paul was thankful for the Roman church was because their faith was being talked about throughout the civilized world, whether because of their intense devotion to God or because Rome was the hub of the empire, or maybe both. The church in Rome was being noticed in a way that was drawing attention to God. Look at verse 8. Now stop and consider for a moment what kind of voice you have. You may not be the center of media attention, as the Roman church was in kind of its own way, but you might have a friend that values your opinion. You might have a blog, or you might just be a frequent poster on one or more forums. Ask yourself, is your voice one that represents and draws attention to God and his character? Would Paul or another believer thank God for what is coming out of your voice, as it were? When Paul says that he serves God in his spirit, the modern equivalent would be to say, with my whole heart, or from the bottom of my heart, if you're wondering what that meant when Paul said that. Paul occasionally called on God as his ultimate witness to his thoughts, since only God knows our hearts, but it should be noted that this was different from oath formulas like those mentioned and spoken against in Matthew 5:33 through 37. Paul constantly brought up the Roman Christians in his prayers, requesting that it be God's will for him to visit them. Look at verse 10. Although it can be hard to understand, sometimes it's God's will to wait on things that we are convinced are in his best interest. Things that we say, God, this is for you. What I have in mind here, this plan I have, this is in service to you. You know, we can devise plans that are even free of selfish motive and are aimed at bringing attention and honor to God. And God still sometimes effectively says, wait, or sometimes even no. Paul saw potential benefit to both the Romans and himself when contemplating a visit. He wanted to equip and provide them with spiritual support while also being encouraged by his time with them. This is the meat, I think, of what Christian community is about. Even Paul knew he wasn't meant to play the Lone Ranger Christian, and that he could be greatly benefited by investing time in other believers. Again, that's something that I see jumping out at me in Scripture, and it's something that is challenging for me, and I think challenging for other geeks as well. We tend to be content to be the Lone Ranger Christian and do our own thing, and, you know, especially since lots of other Christians don't understand us. And there is an inherent challenge there in being a geek in mainstream Christian culture, but yet we are still called, and there are enormous benefits to engaging and investing time in other believers, in a believing community. Paul made it clear that he was not neglecting the Roman Christians, but that he wanted to come to Rome despite being prevented by other factors. He wanted to obtain some fruit, as he said, among them and the rest of the non-Jews in the world. In other words, he wanted to help cultivate their faith and see it grow. Look at verse 13. It may be that some other ministry obligation slowed his visit to Rome. We don't really know, since Paul says that he is under obligation to both Greeks and barbarians. And he says that right after referring to, you know, the rest of the Gentiles. And by the way, if you're wondering what's up with the whole barbarians thing, Greeks thought of all non-Greeks as barbarians. So Paul here uses kind of their terminology just to speak on the same playing field as they do. The gospel, God's rescue plan, is not just for an elite group or for a specific culture. Despite making absolutely exclusive truth claims, which truth does by nature, the gospel is extremely inclusive. All are invited to take part in forgiveness that is absolutely free. And I find this interesting to think about in the context of world religions, because if you take many versions of Hinduism, because there's, you know, all kinds of different versions of Hinduism that are being practiced out there, Hinduism is very inclusive and just kind of like mix and match, you know, thousands of gods, maybe I think more than thousands, lots. But that's, you know, thought of as this very inclusive religion. But if you look if you talk to an Indian who's practicing it in India, many of them would say of Americans, why in the world are they practicing Hinduism? This is our culture. It's a karmic system. So you're born into a class. You know, it's completely limited to our culture, our people. So many other religions are that way as well. So it's interesting that that Christianity is often given this bad rap of being exclusive, but in fact, compared to many other religions, Christianity is very inclusive because it's an invitation to all cultures, all social statuses, all economic statuses. It doesn't matter. It's a free gift offered to everybody. So Paul was just as excited to present the truth clearly to the Christians who were in Rome, because this is for everybody. And next week, we're going to look at the basic nature of the gospel and the state of the world, why the gospel is needed. And the coffeehouse question, when in your life has God said wait or even no when you had intentions you were convinced were in the best interest of God's plan? For me, I won't go into all the details, but God's kind of taken me on a roller coaster ride over the last 15 years of my life, you know, leading me to, you know, what I thought was one path and then another, and, you know, convinced I was called to be a film actor, and then a vocalist, recording artist, and then a worship pastor, which I do believe was the call of God, definitely, but that I knew going in that was just for a season. But the other two things before that, I thought, man, that is it. That's my life. That's what I'm there for until I'm dead, you know. And God's just kind of taken me on this crazy roller coaster ride, bringing me to the point I'm at now, which who knows may change, you know. So I'd like to hear about when in your life you can think of, has God said wait? Maybe it was on a smaller issue than like a career path or something, but whatever it might be, when has God said wait or even no? When you had intentions that you analyzed and even thought, you know, were thinking, you know, hey, this is, there's no selfish motives here. This really is in God's best interest. And yet he said wait or no. I'd like to hear about that. Send me an email at paeter@spiritblade.net or leave me a message I can play on the podcast at 206-350-1226.
Hey Peter, this is Valerie in Utah. I just wanted to give you compliments on the Spirit Blade song bundle. I don't know how many times I've now listened, and the Dark Ritual one too. I don't know how many times I've listened and Necromancy and Death Come Quickly. Oh, I love those songs to no end. Thank you so much for all the work you've done with that series. And I also want to recommend something for the summer of free. There is this website called thatguywiththeglasses.com. They have reviewers for games, movies, anime, pretty much anything in and of all geekdom. And some are played for laughs, particularly with one, the Nostalgia Critic. He has torn a number of films to shreds, such as Batman and Robin. Oh my goodness, that was horrendous. And there's all, recently he did Zeus and Roxanne, the movie in the late 90s about the dolphin and the dog that have a romance. Ew. I knew that film was, it's going to make him be considered nostalgic, but I knew the film was stupid when I first heard the premise in 1997. Other than that, there's also some more serious reviews, such as some games that are pretty spot on. So, and again, it is free. So, I recommend anyone who likes just looking for a laugh and wants something to watch on their computer that's not YouTube. The only criticism I have is that some critics have a language issues and drop a little bit of hard language sometimes, but again, it's free, so take it as you will. But again, thank you so much for all the work you do with Spirit Blade Universe. And I also got Pilgrim's Progress. Haven't listened to it yet, but I am excited. And I am looking forward to Spirit Blade 3. And thank you. Have a good night. And you remember to seek the truth. Bye.
Hey, Valerie. Thanks for the reminder. You know, it's interesting. It's one of the things that I have to really guard against when I am doing like study prep for In Search of Truth. I have to make a conscious effort to pause before, during, after the study to apply these things that I'm learning and digging through to my own life before putting them out there for all of you guys to read. You know, it's something that that I really just have to guard against. It's something. There's another pastor at my church that I recently learned to kind of like. I thought I was kind of the, you know, the weirdo or whatever that, but I guess that's the case with him as well. But it's maybe it just comes with people that like to teach. We can sometimes really get into that teaching mode, and if we're not careful, we forget to process and apply what we're learning and teaching to our own lives before we even consider presenting it for anyone else to contemplate. So I always appreciate the reminder. Thank you. I hope that we're all doing what we can to really just, it's a hard thing to do, to constantly be evaluating and discerning the truth and applying it to our lives, for it not to be just an intellectual exercise, but to say, okay, I'm going to discern the truth, but then I'm also going to, you know, let the rubber hit the road and let it impact my life. So thank you for that reminder. And also thank you for the info about thatguywiththeglasses.com. You're the second person this week to mention that to me. So I figured, well, it's very important that I, not that I wouldn't play your message, but I was like, well, this obviously, you know, really needs to be, attention needs to be brought to this. I don't know. But, yeah, anyway, and thanks for the heads up about the language. If the language doesn't bother you, then, yeah, knock yourself out, guys. And, if it does, well, then you want to steer away from that, but it's free and it does sound very cool. I was over there actually when it was first mentioned to me months ago. I went over and checked some of it out, and there are some cool and funny videos there. And if the guy hates and feels it's appropriate to totally trash on the movie Batman and Robin, well, then he wins some serious points in my book. and I'm glad you're digging the songs, Valerie. That's really cool. It seems like Necromancy and Death Come Quickly are songs that have kind of jumped out to people, and I think they kind of speak a little bit to the, you know, the plight of the geek that, you know, we just, you know, not to mope and say, oh, we've got it so bad, you know. But we do tend to feel misunderstood, and oftentimes we are misunderstood. Sometimes we just feel misunderstood, and we're just really having a pity party, you know. But there is just, there's pain that comes with this life, and there's unique types of pain that come with the life of the geek. And so I'm glad those songs are in some way helping you process that, or just in some way being useful to you. So I'm really glad. I was thinking about you know, my own pain and the pain of geeks everywhere when I put those two songs together. So I'm glad that they're having a positive effect despite their very dark tone. Okay, well, guys, I hope you come and join us at the forums. I've really enjoyed connecting with you guys so far at the at spiritblade.net/forums. It's been cool to meet and interact with new listeners that I'd never interacted with before. That's really exciting and encouraging to me when I'm like, oh my gosh, this here's a person that I've never met before and they're listening to my little show. That's so cool. It's very encouraging just for you to be a blip on the radar at the forums. So stop by and give yourself a little avatar and go over to What's on Your Brain and just say hi. I'd love to connect with you. And chances are you'll find somebody else that you can enjoy geeking out with there. It's a good group, and I've enjoyed watching it slowly grow, and I look forward to seeing how it'll grow in the future. It's very active there, so you will not be met with silence, and we're having a great time. So stop by spiritblade.net/forums. As I said, next week I got two reviews for you, and if I can cook up anything else that I think is fun or weird or geeky, then I'll do that. But in the meantime, why don't you and I both do our best to seek the truth?
Visit www.spiritblade.net.
Vader is a crazy freak. Green Lantern is awesome. Visit www.spiritblade.net.